Fred Film Radio, in collaboration with the Italian Film Commissions Association, with the support of the Italian Trade Agency. Fred Film Radio, from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival. I'm Matt Micucci.
I'm Chiara Nicoletti.
And today we're very honoured to have as guests some of the directors of some of the most important and hottest film festivals in the world right now. And the reason why we tried to set up this this sort of a roundtable conversation is that we realised that we've been active for how many years, Chiara?
Yeah, well, since 2011. 2011.
And specifically, this radio is focused on film festival reporting. And you know what Fred, their letters for Fred stand for? It's film, radio,
entertainment, and dialogue.
And dialogue. So we want to open up a dialogue. One of the beautiful things about having a radio is the fact that we get to document these conversations. So because the topic of this conversation is film festivals, it's very fascinating to be able to chat about the state of film festivals today, right now. What's the date? The 2nd of February. Of September 2019. So, guys, thank you very much, first of all, for joining us. And just for the benefit of our listeners who will be listening to this, if it would be, if you could just say your name and what institution you're from. Carl, we'll start off with you.
Hi, my name is Carl Och, and I'm the artistic director of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival in Czech Republic.
My name is Intishar El-Tamimi. I am the director of El Guna Film Festival in Egypt.
My name is Git Shenius. I'm the festival director of Stockholm in Sweden.
And my name is Mike Goodridge. I'm the artistic director of the International Film Festival and Awards in Macau, China.
So as Matt was anticipating, like, our interest is to analyze the state of the art of film festival right now. So I'm asking you, because we keep asking ourselves, what do you think is the role of film festivals nowadays, since it's changing so much from, you know, especially now that Venice has found its way to combine, you know, some, for example, art house films. Well, we define that art house film with films that are at least targeting at the bigger audience,
I think for us, at least, it's always been the same. We bring films, and we bring filmmakers, and we bring audience, and we facilitate the dialogue. And that's the beginning, and that should be the main goal of every festival. And then, you know, we develop throughout the years different directions, new things added, but this is the core of it all, and it should stay, according to my opinion.
I'm not quite sure that it will stay. I think we expect in the very near future that the role of the festival will be much different, which would be absolutely not disappear, because still there is a need of that direction. But at this moment, Film Festival is not only as a platform to screen films and watch films, but from a long time ago is also a way to produce and co-produce films by co-production markets in a different way. Now the VR experience, and it will be other direction in the future.
Well, we're obviously going to the time of change, because on the other hand, on one side you have never been, film hasn't been bigger than now. We have more TV channels than ever, we have more specific platforms for film than ever. On the other hand, I would say that film festivals have extraordinary important role to play in this society, and the important role to spread quality film for a broader audience. That is the purpose of the Stockholm Film Festival and most of the film festival, and it's getting more difficult to find an audience for the quality film, and I think in the center of all this, the festival can play a very important role.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on a holistic level, I'm quite worried about the state of film at the moment, because it's under attack in the way that it's never been before, from incredible high quality television, which is being directed by some of the great film directors. the role of the platforms, which is going to proliferate over the next few years. So the medium of film, I think, is under attack, and film festivals have to play a major role in sustaining the art of film. I think they're key to that conversation.
That's actually, I was going to ask that, I was going to bring that up, because obviously for a while it seems that we've been undergoing certain developments in technologies, and also there's been the emergence of new media. So some film festivals have embraced it, other film festivals have actually gone the complete opposite direction. Maybe to just get an idea, it would be nice to understand what kind of policies you feel your festivals are using with this emergence of new media, but also all these technological developments and the rising popularity of, as you said, series over the feature film format.
Well, we believe that if you enter this new direction, you should do it properly with the school staff, and so really bring something new. I mean, the example is Venice, and when it comes to VR, I think it's really exemplary. But we see a lot of film festivals where somewhere in the corner there is a guy with the goggles and moving around, and that's it. You know, this is not the direction we want to go. But so far, we don't feel we're ready for that. We think it somehow we also kind of diverts our focus on what we want to do, which is supporting classical cinema, let's say. But to the second part of your question, we don't care if the film was paid by the parents of the director or a big platform. If we find it suitable for a big screen and somehow interesting in terms of the art of cinema, we play everything.
Do you play television at all?
Yeah, we did long time ago. We played films, original production of HBO, and because it was directed by people like Agnieszka Holland, etc. So yeah, it all really depends on whether the film can be screened on a big screen.
Actually, I agree with you, Carl, that if you do, would like to do something, you should look not to the format, but to the contents. I mean, for example, everybody pushing me the last two years, why used to not to start VR? It's very important. It's the future of the cinema. If you don't do it quite well, probably, you don't do it, because also like the market. I mean, there is several film festivals around the world. They would like to say that we have a festival and we have a market. And in the end, we know that Cannes, Berlin, probably Hong Kong, and two or other big market, and the rest is just not real a market. You can call it market, but it's not a real market. So I think each festival should look to the role he is doing. For example, in Toronto and in Canada or in Europe, there is a lot of cinema, art cinemas, and you can watch and regularly art films in the regular cinemas. For example, in Holland, each city in Holland there is art house cinema. This is completely different in Arab countries. In all entire Arab countries, which is, we are speaking about 23 countries, and we are speaking about 350 million, there is only 4 art cinemas. That's why I think the role of the film festival is much bigger and much important, because this is like oasis of art and good cinema. Otherwise, also with a difficult economical situation where filmmakers and producers and even press, they cannot travel, because for them traveling with its inflation of money, it's very hard way. The festival brings them to them films from all over the world, and they let them watch them. So in each place there is a role for that festival.
So do you think that in terms of role of film festival, in this case we could talk about an alternative distribution, like that the film festival in this case plays an actual role in distributing films in a way?
I don't know. I mean, I think there are a large number of films which will only play at film festivals. And whether that's a distribution, a revenue-generating distribution system or not, I don't know. I mean, the distribution arena itself, theatrical distribution, is really struggling at the moment to be able to play a lot of the films that we'll see at Venice or Cannes or any of these film festivals. So Yes, the film festival circuit represents a big screen opportunity for a lot of these films, but I believe we're in a period of momentous change in terms of how people consume films, and I don't know what the answers are, because I don't think Netflix is buying an enormous amount of art house films either. So maybe festivals are the only distribution out there.
I think without the festival, the quality film should have big difficulties to reach wide audiences, and it's no use to sort of looking down on the festival, that all the circus in the festival, because together they are reaching out to enormous much people. But if you look at Stockholm, for example, we screen 150 films each year, and among those, between 15 and 20 films are gaining distribution in connection to the festival. And for media, maybe that is a low figure, but in fact it's a very high figure, considering that the third of the program is first-time filmmakers and it's a quality film. So, in fact, the festival plays a very important role as a distribution platform that is completely necessary. But coming back to the question of what the festivals can do, I mean, it's also important that each and everyone find a specific, unique formula to and a unique voice even. I mean, there are the big festival and there are the public festivals in Kaarivaara in Stockholm, and then other form that are looking to the film branch, and all of them is together. It's an enormous network, and they are very different, and it gives a wider broad to how to distribution a film.
Do you think that the typical film festival audience has changed through the years? I mean, I was thinking about what you said about the fact that, for example, TV products have increased their quality since more important actors and quality actors and quality directors are working on it. And I noticed that, for example, this like all the streaming platforms like Netflix and Amazon, you know, with their big catalog have given us so much to watch, so many different products, so that people is getting educated in a way. Do you think that you can see this difference in the audience right now, like even through watching all these films in the platforms, on the platforms on TV?
I'm sure how you can get educated by zapping.
Do you think that they have become a bit more educated to quality products in general?
I feel it's about where the festival is located. Like when I went to Carlo Vivari, I was stunned by the young audiences there, queuing for sometimes all night to get into movies. Mm-hmm. And it's a joy to see that. I'm in Macau, and we're trying to cultivate an audience there, which is a bit like what Interchal was saying about working on an industry, a real grassroots level. That's exciting. That's different from like the London Film Festival, the Stockholm Film Festival, these enormous cosmopolitan cities, mm-hmm. where the audiences are more mature, you know. So in terms of education, I don't know, you know.
But I think what you're looking after, or maybe your question is if the festival has transformed or is gaining a wider audience just because we are there. And I think that's true. If you look at when Stockholm started 30 years ago, we have a very small audience, and now it's very big, of course. I mean, they bring the family, the daughters, the friends. I mean, it's become a habit to go to festival, and that is gaining the film industry, of course. So it's... And when you look at, I think it's very important that the festival, of course, I agree with you, there will be big changes in the festival, how to run a festival, and we see a lot of problems in front of us, but the unique thing about the festival that you gain people together, and you have directors and actors there and presenting the work, and that's nothing that Netflix can do. So I mean, it's the platform, and that's the voice of a filmmaker.
I think it was us festivals who kind of, I mean, it's a little unmodest statement, but it was us who kind of educated the audience. I mean, that's what we're trying to do, I guess. And you can see around the world, like, you travel to festivals, and within 10 years, and you see that the conversations, Q&As, the type of questions people ask. And, I mean, of course, it's connected to the changes in the society, which is the case of Carlo Gabriel, for instance. But, yeah, I think the platforms are sort of going along the way, and you can spend some time there, you can fish some stuff there, but if you go back, they will never offer what the festivals can offer, and that's why I'm really not worried about the future of the festivals.
I have two examples. One of them is the film of Belovi by Viktor Krasikovsky. That film was in ITFA, I think 20 years ago, and there is the biggest queue I saw for a documentary film. The next day, this film was in the cinemas, and I watched alone in the cinema. Festival give a big power to films, because it's effaced, is connecting people together, they go together to this is I think will continue. Second example is when we worked in Abu Dhabi Film Festival. I remember before that Emirati people used to Korean horror films, and this is there, this is the biggest films in Emirates. After 10 years of Abu Dhabi Festival and 14 years of Dubai Film Festival, the reception is different. That's why festival do roles. Festivals, before that, there is no films in Emirates. I mean, there is only some, foreign films. After that, in some years we have 4 or 5 Emirati films, and now we have Saudi films in the competition of Venice, and I have one in other section. And so I believe that the festival has the power to encourage. When we started El Gola Film Festival, many producers, because they like the festival, they like the situation, they went and they start doing films, not as serials, which they continue doing before. So I think there is always a way to have influence.
Our festival, our competition in Macau is first and second time films, and I was slightly worried that this is a very young audience in terms of film culture, really, and a film going habit for world cinema. But actually, in the 3 years I've been there, the competition has become the most popular thing. So they're going to see, they're sort of developing a loyalty for these films, which hopefully is a testament to the programming, but also to the fact that there is an appetite. And I'm witnessing it year on year to see that we're sort of stoking the fires of that.
Yeah, it's very interesting what you're saying, because I feel like in Macau, it would be one of the places where it's actually almost like you're bringing together filmmakers too. It didn't seem like they... I mean, a lot of people are saying that they probably didn't have a place like that before the festival was
No, I mean, Macau's a very small city, and there's no filmmaking culture there. Unlike Hong Kong, which is an hour away, which has this great tradition of making movies. So part of our mandate, like Interchild was saying, and what Interchild's been involved with over many years, is cultivating filmmaking in our city at the same time as bringing international cinema there. So it sort of works in concert, really. And it's quite interesting because you know we're bringing great filmmakers to meet our young filmmakers from Macau. It's really exciting.
I know that we've been focusing a lot, let's say, on the audience side of things, but another question, I think a lot, you know, some of our listeners are actually people who want to make films. And I went to film school myself, and I have to say that film festival studies was somehow ignored. And I think the reason for that is because it falls outside of the traditional studio format, which, you know, works like, you know, you've got the production, you've got the distribution, you've got the exhibition. So it is an alternative to that. And I want to use that thought in just asking another simple question. They're always the hardest to answer, but let's see what happens if I ask it. How beneficial is it today for a new filmmaker to still go down the festival route? In other words, what's the use of a filmmaker today, a younger filmmaker, whatever, someone who decides to make films today, to just submit their movies to the festival?
I'm not sure I understand the question. So I thought the first part was if it's beneficial for the filmmakers to go to film festivals to watch movies?
No, to actually submit.
For 90% of movies, we're the only platform where they could ever screen the film, and there's this sentence which producers hate to hear, that too many films are being made. But I would change it to too many films remain without a film festival or any kind of presentation, which is very sad at the end of the day. But still, that's why we suggest to filmmakers to submit the film carefully, but to as many festivals as possible. Because you never know what's going to happen, and if you don't do it, where else would you play? Where else would you have the audience watching your film and telling you what they think about it?
I think the alternative to that would be filmmakers who take matters into their own hands and decide to release it on the internet. That would be...
Yeah, but then the actual interaction with the people who just saw your film, and you can read the expression on their faces, and you can, you know, it's a whole different thing. Yeah, of course, it's another channel, but they want to, you know, have their hands shaken, and maybe something can happen.
Also, there's a sophisticated system of curation that goes into getting a film into a film festival. I used to be a sales agent, and we spent most of our time planning the strategy of which festivals to submit the film to, and what was our target festival, and would that be right for the director's career?
So the day you send the link.
Yeah, and and how do the festival directors watch the film? Do they watch a DCP or do they watch a link? Or, you know, what time of the year do you submit to Cannes? Do you wait till the beginning of April, or do you try earlier in the year? You know, I mean, there's a whole sort of unseen kind of system going on. To position those young directors, which is really where festivals are incredibly powerful, because festivals launch film careers, there's no question.
There's a problem, it became too important, and I think it's really wrong. I mean, we used to hang out with a lot of filmmakers, now we have good friends and a lot of enemies. I mean, it's become like this, because really this has changed a lot, and festivals are the only platform for many films, and it's not healthy actually, because then you really see a lot of unhappy people at the end of the 1 year round, and now, like, we're having a panel somewhere and people in the audience are the filmmakers who's been traveling to submit the film, and they're really unhappy and they're depressed. They are responsible for loads of people, a lot of money, and nobody wants his or her movie. It's really sad.
But what festivals are quite good at also is the talent programming. I mean, if you are a young filmmaker coming into the circus of festival, they often have quite a lot of talent process. In Stockholm, we have one for very young people. We're giving out the scholarship, and we also create a platform. I'm talking about the platform all the time, sorry, but with international filmmaker meets Swedish filmmaker, and can gain so much experience and know-how in meeting and meeting in cocktails, or we even arrange very quick face-to-face meeting, and that's so when it comes to talent work, it's interesting. In Stockholm, we run a festival for children, for junior as well, and we also have a talent program there. And one of the very young girls, she won the prize when she was 13, and then she went to 1 kilometer film at Stockholm, and last year she was in Cannes. So there you can see jumping around, getting the scholarship can lead to a career.
Yes.
Do you normally, in the final selection, do you find more films through your consultants or through the simple submission?
The first
because festivals
are submissions, maybe 1-2%. out of 2,000 submissions, maybe 10 movies. Spontaneous submissions.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody is looking to their endorsers and curators, aren't they? Whether it be a sales agent or a director you know, or...
But then you have to still have to do it, because well, that's the first and most important channel, how to reach a film festival through the website and then submissions. And every year or every second year, you really fish some jewel among some spontaneous submissions. And it's much more rewarding than if you're, I mean, as nice as it is when your friend sends, agent sends you a film, and says, it's kind of like on, served on a plate. So this is like the true satisfaction of finding something.
I mean, I was just thinking about this Australian director whose first film is in competition here later this week, Baby Teeth.
Shannon Murphy.
I mean, she's a first-time Australian filmmaker. That's pretty impressive, isn't it, to have your first film in competition in Venice? I mean, I hope it goes well for her, you know.
You know, I interviewed a 19-year-old filmmaker who's got a feature in the as a special event of the Giornata degli Autori, Vernon Kane, you know, Humans. I thought his film was pretty amazing, especially for a 19-year-old. He's got real depth and sensibility and emotion. Fantastic.
But I mean, both of those filmmakers, because it's Venice, they could explode out of this festival. They could get agents. They could get a new, a second job. You know,
right?
So festivals, in that respect, play an important role in career development.
And they could lose their mind, and this is will be really sometime a very bad start. Because it depends how you are you ready for that or not. I think, as you said, that Film Festival is helping filmmakers by co-production markets. For example, in the Laguna Film Festival, we start this co-production market from the first edition, which actually in the international film festival, there are countries they normally start the third year or even 10 years or even 30 years, like Cairo or Carthage. We started from the beginning because we think that this is first of all, belong to where we are. If Macau is a small city, Laguna is only 12,000 population. It's very small, tiny city. That's why we thought that we can build it like in the future will be like Kariwari, like Sundance, like Cannes. This is how this festival started. It's small, and people go and travel to this festival. So why we concentrate on Cinemona platform as a big part of the festival, maybe half of the festival, where we inviting films, projects in development and films in post-production, and we secure to them a lot of experts coming from around the world, film directors and distributors and producers, plus festival directors, funds to help them to be part of this project. Also, we secure to them money. And the first year, we secured $60,000. The second year, $170,000. The third year, now, $245,000, which is support this filmmakers. Not only money and expert, but also giving opportunity to these young filmmakers to come and watch films, to go to the master classes, to enjoy the festival experience as well. That's why all this, for example, we are very happy that from 10 films in post-production, in first and second year, 7 of them till now went to the big film festival. One went to Rotterdam, one went to the competition of Cannes, and this year 2 went to Berlinale, and 3 going to Toronto, and one of them going to San Sebastian. This is without these cooperation meetings, I believe that half of these numbers cannot reach international festival, because even if we don't screen the world premiere of these films, that means these 3 films will be in Toronto, but coming after that to Laguna, but we discover them. We discover them before Toronto, before Venice, before Cannes. So I think this is very important to say that festivals can help a lot young filmmakers and even established filmmakers, because even established filmmakers in some places, they don't have opportunity to have support. I tell you a very scary fact and nice fact that the next competition, 8 films in our competitions, documentary and feature. All of them first feature. All of them first feature. This is saying that, first of all, that there is a future for documenting, but in the same time saying that the production is in very bad situation. Well, no way to, it's a huge filmmaker to do films.
I have one last question yes. that it's connected to the selection, and it's actually our topic right now. I wanted to know, what's your position in this whole tiring sometimes discussion about pink quotas? Do you agree with the position of also Alberto Barbera, or with some other festivals that chose apparently to respect some, I don't know, quotas and to include women directors for a reason that maybe is different from quality that should be?
I feel quite strongly about this issue because women have been making films for decades,
yeah.
And there are plenty of films out there by women directors. I take issue with some of Alberto's comments, and I wish he would be a bit more proactive in such a major film event as Venice is in showcasing the work of female directors. I know there are plenty of those out there. Toronto is very good at representational programming, and I don't think, I mean, quota makes it sound so artificial, but you know, there are great films out there by women, and they deserve a shot.
I'm glad to hear that opinion. For us, this has been one of the main topic, besides bringing out new filmmakers, of course. And we have last year we have a presentation of 38% female filmmaker. Now that makes us to one of the festival that shows most female. Filmmaker, and we don't quota, and that seems maybe strange, but what we do is that we are looking to every female project that we can find, actually, so we dig into this question very, very deep, and that's why we have sort of a balance, and for us it's very natural because our audience have always been 50-50. Men and women, and of course we would like to present the female perspective, you could say. And but all the films we are chosen in the festival are chosen by quality and nothing else. So there are projects to find, I think, and our program is very well recognized and very popular, so they are there. I'm just coming from a gender quality seminar.
Gender quality
right
seminar.
From
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So,
how was that?
That was good, a bit too long. You wish that people should get right to the point.
We're going to do another round table about that.
Yes. But I'm happy that this question is rising, and I think every festival needs to bring up this question to one of the top questions, and it, I think it means enormously much for the film branch. The festival is driven by this question right now.
I think, it's all about how it's being described sometimes in the press, that what kind of pressure is being put on the festival. So I think it's really enormously important that the conversation is happening, but at the same time, those who lead the conversation need to realize that the focus only on the festival as a place where you should consciously go out there and search for films made by filmmakers as well is one thing, but there are other parts of the chain. I mean, financing, film schools and all that, and this conversation should be on every level, mm-hmm. not only on the most exposed one, because if we want, nobody wants to accept any quotas. I mean, every festival person who has some sense goes first for the quality, right? While having this conversation. So if you just imagine artificial situation of going for the quotas, 50-50, so we have a dozen film competition, so six male, six female filmmakers, none of the festivals in the world gets what they want, not even Cannes sometimes. So we have like dropout percentage is about 25%. So what if those 25% go away from the female group? Then you're already disbalanced, then you don't even, I mean, you can try as much as you want, but so it's about how you address this conversation, and but it's great.
I agree with that, and also there is a production problem, because it should be, women should be making more films, and it should be a better flow for that. And also I heard you said journalists, sometimes I feel like I bring in a lot of female directors, but the press won't interview them because they don't know about them. And I mean, so there have to be more than festival. The whole society have to bring it up. And because what happens is you get better films. That's what happened.
If I may add, I have a female friend, she's a sales agent, and we recently discussed this, and then her company, or company she's a partner in, they focus on films made by women, not only, but and then we had this conversation about the way how you watch movies, and whether more than doing something artificial or, you know, with percentage and, you know, numbers, etc., more, let's say, metaphysical thinking about how we watch movies, whether it's maybe us and men and women who have been used to watch movies with sort of male gaze, and maybe, and I find it really exciting to question my own cinephilia, which is where I'm quoting her, you know. So it's, this is where it gets really interesting and serious, because you watch a movie that you watched 30 years ago, and then you watch it with different eyes, maybe.
I've been really analysing the way I watched Marriage Story, the Noah Baumbach film.
Yeah, I love that.
And how he leaves you at the end of the film. Whose side are you on in that film? Because I feel that you're with the man, and he leaves you with the man, and the man's struggle. And the woman is kind of the bad guy. And I've been thinking about this balance, about how this male director has presented the story all week. So it's great that it's in our minds, and that we're all thinking about it.
And it doesn't have to be auto-censorship.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy, because I get very good response from the audience, for example. Suddenly, bringing in 40% of female directors, that means that you have 40% women's perspective on things. That means that you have films on growing up as a girl, doing the first date as a girl, going to abroad, going through divorce, going through life as a woman, often. I mean, of course, female director can do films on whatever they like, but the perspective is there. So the response from the audience has been so positive, both from men and women, because what you want to do when you see a good film is to discuss it.
But don't you think that...
Do you think that our person cannot say anything about women and...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No.
Of course not. You're not aggressive.
I was thinking about what she said, so that's why I jumped up.
But I really think that I don't believe myself in quotas, not only in women and men. I just spoke about the that all the films... in our films in the competitions this year, face feature. This is not because we designed to have them face feature. This is when we finish the programming, we look to the statistic, and we study from that statistic. Also, because we are in Africa and in Asia, we found that the majority of our films, they are from Africa. Only one film from Asia. Our films, I mean, you know, Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, East Asia, and the West Africa. This is statistic. With the women, I think should be the case is to see the statistic, and from the statistic, you go and find solution. Why there is less women filmmakers, and it's not only filmmakers. Why there's sound. Men or women, less women. Why in cameraman also? Why that? It's not only filmmakers. This we should study. For example, in the team of my festival, if you look to the team, 70% of them is girls. If you look to the history of Egyptian cinema, for example, the first filmmaker is woman, The first producer is woman. Now, if you look to the films we supported, all of them, the main actresses is women. So why is not that? It should be not that now.
Yeah, thinking about what you said, sort of. Do you think that maybe it's not the festival job to establish quotas of any kind? I mean, not only women, but also all the other minorities, let's say that, but yeah, it's up to, I don't know, talents program, production funds, I mean, the starting of the chain.
Or countries, for example, I know that Rotterdam, for example, or Toronto, they have, this year we have only 10 films from Africa. This is like a quota. I believe, should be no any quota. If I am always saying that we are expecting films from 23 countries in our countries, if in the competition, all of them from Egypt, I would take them. If all of them from Syria, I would take them. We should look for a quality, and after that, look for which country, if it's women or man, if it's feature or not, if it's a big production or small production, or all other things.
So do you agree that the change must be made from the beginning, and then the festival will...
No, I think festivals have a huge responsibility, and especially the big A-list festivals that the world's media descends onto, like Venice, like Cannes, like Toronto. You know, they're the showcases of cinema. They have to show that they're doing some work here, you know.
It sounds like you're telling to sacrifice the big names, though, for a good amount of money.
You know, I would argue that some of the big names films I've seen in competition here aren't very good. You know,
I agree.
And so,
in fact, it's not even possibly a discourse about new films, also about the older films. There's a lot of female film kids that we have to go back and rediscover, and they're not out on DVD or available to us. But also, African film in the West is not available for us to watch either, for example. And we're talking about an entire continent. Sometimes we forget that.
But it's great that we can actually have this kind of conversation.
Right.
Yeah. I come from a country where 35 years ago, the director of the festival was the head of the jury.
I like that idea.
My last year, I'm going to appoint myself.
Yeah.
No, because just to make sure that the decision of the jury was politically acceptable, you know, during the communist time. So,
yeah.
I mean, everywhere I am, and there is a discussion about something, and if it's led in an intelligent way, it's good. It's great. It'll go somewhere.
Sure.
It'll contribute to something, maybe smaller step, but it'll be good.
Okay.
Festival should be able to do both, I think, and you have democracy questioned, and it doesn't mean that you are selecting a bad movie about democracy. It can mean that you are lifting up a director who has a problem in his own country and are forbidden to screen. That's a very important thing for festival to do. And it's our job, if you ask me, is to bring light to this kind of question. And you can also have this kind of discussion leading those topics.
Well, thank you very much. That was a wonderful conversation. And thank you all for joining us. It was great.
Thank you
for being here.
Yeah, that was perfect. You answered to all my doubts.
Thank you very much. Same time next year. We'll see. And this is Fred Film Radio.
The Festival Insider.
This program has been produced in collaboration with the Italian Film Commissions Association, thanks to the support of the Italian Trade Agency.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.